Listeners, we're back again. I'm back again. Actually, we're back again because guess what? It's Fizzy from China. Okay, here we are again. Okay. The Chinese version of the physical. I haven't got a name for this section. Every time I get a name for this section, you move. Well, did I have a name for it before? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Fizzy's Call to the Wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, Fizzy's Call to the Wild. It started off as that, and then it morphed into just physical because I couldn't be bothered to write to the wild. And I don't even know where that sort of title came from. And I think, as I was telling you earlier, before I started recording this, which I'm doing now, I was messing around with a theme tune because I felt it's really worth you having a theme tune. And the idea I had in mind was, you know, a mixture of good old Arsenal, and it was going to be like good old Fizzy, ding 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 ding, you know, and that was the theme tune basically. But
it's a work in progress.
It's definitely a work in progress. Yeah, I've got to get the keyboard out. And if you knew how long it would take me to actually put those notes down, you'd be quite shocked. Right. So anyway, tell us about your take on the two Liverpool games then.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Monday game first.
Yeah.
I think the Monday night game, obviously, is more important because it was in the league. And obviously, we came into it undefeated in the league, and so did they. And it was almost a first test of the new Arsenal, really, and how far Arsenal developed. And I think there's a lot made of the victories that we had over Liverpool this sort of calendar year. And I think if you took those games at face value and you looked at those games, then obviously beating Liverpool at home was a good result. And yeah, the Charity Shield, even though it was a draw, we won on penalties, it was still quite pleasing to the eye. However, yeah, we had to take into regard that Liverpool had already won the league. And watching that game in lockdown, you could say, you know, Liverpool was still very, very good, and I think we held on and we rode our luck a little bit. On Monday, I think it was the same Liverpool as before. Mm. I think it was, you know, the word I used when I messaged you was relentless.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely relentless. And I remember watching the highlights because it was 2 a.m. here to stay up, and I missed it. But I remember watching the highlights, and I was actually annoyed about the goals. I certainly felt the first goal was poor from Leno. He punched it basically to Mane's feet. The second goal, it was almost as classic Arsenal. Like, certainly we looked panicked every time they put a cross into the box. We looked, at sixes and sevens, and that the second goal we just looked panicked and whatever. And then the third goal, I felt annoyed because I thought, you know, Luis headed it out. And he, you know, as a defender, you get to, you know, head it up, and you know, and he did, but to head it right, you know, he hasn't played for a couple of games because he had a neck problem.
Oh yeah.
And as he headed it, he just didn't get much distance on the header, and I wonder if that was a factor. You know, his neck problem was a factor. Maybe he could have hit it. If taking nothing away from the lad that scored, it was a very well taken finish. And I think I may be being a bit too sort of, being a bit too, either critical of Arsenal or less sort of praising than Liverpool, because if it hadn't been those chances that they scored from, it would have been others. And I think before we rode our luck a little bit in the home game, not so much the Charity Shield, I don't think we did, but certainly in the home game, there were periods of the game where it was just all Liverpool and it was just relentless. And I think, you know, it was a fair result. And I think, you know, in terms of improvement, we have to sort of look at the positives. We were in that game until the last 5 minutes. We were only one goal out of the game until the last 5 minutes. That's a huge improvement. I've seen Arsenal go to Anfield and be 3-0 down in 10 minutes. So, you know, and it was interesting to read the comments in the press, I felt, before the game.
And after.
Because I thought Arteta...
And after, because I was going to ask you about it. Yes. Was really interesting. I mean, it's funny, we got the two Liverpool games back to back, and the difference of, you know, in terms of the comments about Leno initially. after the first Liverpool game, they said he saved a lot of shots. However, loads of people were saying they got rid of, Arsenal got rid of the wrong goalkeeper. These were the comments on the blogs. I think Tony Adams even said that Arsenal shouldn't have got rid of whatever his name was. I want to forget him now. The Villa keeper. So I just feel... I was angry that people were saying those things about Leno, though. I didn't think that was fair, because who would have known that Martinez is going to go on to keep clean sheets in his first couple of games for Villa? They did lose a game the other day. I don't know if he was in goal.
Yeah, it's a drop in the ocean, though, isn't it? Yeah. Really, like, if he does it across the whole season, then fair play. But I disagree with Adams. I think we have got the better keeper. I think Arteta knew, Leno was always going to be the first choice. And, supposedly he played quite well last night and he made lots of saves. It was kind of, almost like the Leno of old, but it's going to take him time to get back to that sort of level that he was at. I think, it's rust, isn't it?
When you're out for so long.
It takes time to get back to that ultimate level. And I think with goalkeepers as well, any mistake they make or any sign of rust is much more evident than it would be, say, for a defender or midfielder. Being a defender or midfielder, they make mistakes all the time. And it sort of doesn't get ignored, but it's certainly not under the spotlight as much as a keeper. So, it's... While I was disappointed with the first goal, I still think we've got the right man. And the comments before and the comments after, they were both very, very complimentary of each other.
Yeah.
Which was nice to see, because I think they're both nice gentlemen in football. But what was interesting was Klopp was quite sort of concise about what he said about Arteta and how about Arsenal have played and the improvements that we've made. And Arteta, conversely, he was honest. He said, I want to be where Liverpool are, but I need time to get to where Liverpool are. And he's right, it took Klopp 4 years to get to this level that they're at now. And he's right, and I think certainly the signs are there. And we weren't 3-0 down after 10 minutes. We didn't lose 5-1. We are at the very least competitive now against big teams. And I think, Liverpool will beat most people. Was the hardest game of the season out of the way. And I don't think we embarrassed ourselves. We would have gone into that game, if we're honest, thinking a draw. If you offered me a draw, I'd have bitten your hand off before the game. So to only lose 3-1. And there are some positives to take from it.
And interestingly, I spoke to... it's one of those... I spoke to a Liverpool fan at your old workplace, and he said, it's not Jonesy, but he said he thought Arsenal might have nicked another goal quite early on. He said they were putting balls in behind and they were causing them problems. That was his take on it. Do you think Arsenal threatened a fair bit?
Yeah, well, they had a couple of chances. Obviously, our goal was incredibly messy. The finish was. We broke the press. I think one of the rare times we broke the press with the team that we had in the first half. And Maitland-Niles put a decent enough ball across. Robertson, I don't know what Robertson was trying.
Yeah.
It went wrong, and then Lacazette scuffed it, and Alisson still managed to push it in. Suppose in the second half, Lacazette got put through by Cabellos, Ceballos. Lacazette had a couple of chances and didn't take them, and it kind of, if Aubameyang had took them, or if Aubameyang had been in that position, or would the outcome have been different? We've talked about this before about transfers, and I honestly think if the right offer comes in for Lacazette, I think Arteta will sell him.
Possible.
And I think that game sort of highlighted that a little bit.
But he scored three goals.
I know he had that goal.
Three goals this
season. He scored three in three, I know.
Yeah. So I would not let him go if it were me.
For a long time, I know. I think Arteta and Aubameyang will always play out on the left because he's very good friends and he's with Lacazette and he's a great captain and he takes one for the team.
Yeah.
But I think if you asked Aubameyang if he could play up top, he would. We do need money, and I think we haven't offered him a new deal with 2 years to go. So either we're going to make the same mistake that we've made with every single other player in the last 5 years, we're looking to flog him on because we won't get much money for him next year. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens in the transfer window. But that was my take from it. The other take from it I had, and this kind of works for both games, was he chose Luis over Gabriel. Now, you know, Gabriel has made a good start, it's fair to say, a very good start to his Arsenal career. Arteta didn't want to throw him into the fire straight away, and I get that, I do. But you saw how he played last night, and he was pretty solid last night. The man's an absolute man mountain. He wins so many headers in the air, and I think with the crosses that Liverpool were putting in that first game that made us look panicked and made us look like we were shitting a brick, maybe Gabriel would have added a bit more sort of stability to it. I don't know. Obviously, hindsight's a beautiful thing. But certainly, like last night, he played very well. And I think, you know, obviously we won on penalties, but from what I could gather from the highlights, it was all Arsenal first half pretty much, and all Liverpool second half, so the draw was probably a fair result. There were some first team players playing for Arsenal and Liverpool, so it wasn't the first team, but it wasn't a weakened team, not really by much. There's a few kids, but Liverpool has like Salah played, Van Dijk played, I'm pretty sure, we had a few strong players as well.
What about Saliba? Because Saliba looks like he's going to go out on loan to Rennes. Can you believe it? I mean, what's the point of spending all that money on Saliba? What was it, 29 million or something ridiculous? Yeah. So we bring him in, and then we give him back to the club that he came from, St Etienne, if I remember correctly. And now this year, it sounds like... Yeah, I don't want to criticise Arteta. That's the last thing I want to do. But I just don't understand what's going on. I mean, the official reasoning for sending him out possibly on loan again, which sounds like it's almost definitely going to happen, is he needs time to adjust. But then if you send him back to France, how is that going to help him adjust? But it's just this whole idea that...
He needs that
sort of grounding. He's still, obviously he's only 19, but I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Because I was pretty upset to see that he's going to get loaned out again, because I'll tell you the reason why I'm upset is because I don't know how long his contract is. Say it's 5 years, so of those 5 years, Arsenal are only going to see three of it if they loan him out yet again. And I'm just not happy about it at all.
Yeah.
It's just my gut reaction. I haven't thought about it.
No, sure.
Instinctive. But
I have to admit, I was very excited about him when we signed him. And, you know, it's nice to sign a centre-half for the future, and I was looking forward to him starting this year. My only thought can be that Arteta's seen him, he's made a decision on him, and Arteta's come, do you know, he's not ready, and he won't be ready for a few months, and he's got Gabriel, and like we have got a plethora of centre halves,
a varying quality.
There might be an element of, well, agree, not much quality with some of them, but I think there might be an element of, well, we can't get rid of all of them.
That's that as well.
We might as well use that to our advantage and say, well, okay, we put Saliba. Don't get me wrong, I agree, I'm disappointed. I wanted to see him, I was excited about seeing him, and I was looking forward to him eventually pairing up with Gabriel. I just think Arteta's assessed him, and Arteta isn't happy where he is, in terms of
his development.
Yeah, maybe he wanted more from him, I don't know. And obviously, like you say, he's only 19. I do think that it's a difficult one, because Arsenal of old would say, I certainly remember Wenger saying something along the lines of, well, there's no point loaning you out because we'd rather us give you the education than someone else.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to learn the Arsenal way, not another way. And you go, well, that's reasonable. And you go, well, how, if he learns from another English club,
yes,
then he gets game time in England, he gets accustomed to the league, maybe that's more sensible.
I think it's much more,
to France,
yeah.
And then the logic in that, the team that's in for him, it's hard to tell, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I can only assume reading between the lines, as I do sometimes, that perhaps he's homesick. Something like that. That's all I can possibly think of. Because why else would they send him back to France? Doesn't make any sense at all. Loaning him out, if he's not quite up to the cut at the moment and he needs a bit of time to adjust, yeah, I can understand that. So send him to some championship club where he would be... I mean, the only issue with sending him to a championship club, he's going to get kicked a lot. It will toughen him up, but it might break him rather than make him. That's the issue. So I can see that as well, but then sending him back to France, I just don't get it at all. I can't see the logic behind
it. It baffled me.
Yeah.
How certain are we on this rumor though? Obviously, you know, not all of them are to be believed. I've been out away from the internet, so sports news has been a bit hard to come by. But yeah, we've still got. We still haven't sold anyone, have we?
No, that's right. And I mean, the Wren thing is not definite, 100%. Doesn't sound like it. But the newspapers are running it, and that, as we know, doesn't mean a thing because they could be. I mean, they lie to make money. You know, I don't mean to be disrespectful to any particular newspaper, but that's how they operate.
Sure.
If it's just somebody casually remarks, or maybe somebody might move to this club or that club, then someone else picks up that story, and it's rumoured that, you know, that's as far as I know it's gone. You know, it's not official, not last I looked at least. So
yeah
it may just be a rumour and nothing more. But the thing is, the thing that's fueled this is the fact that he didn't play against Liverpool in the what's it called again, this cup now, League Cup, whatever it's called now,
the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, so that one, because he didn't play in it, and everyone expected to see him.
It's strange, isn't it? It's strange. But again, no Ozil, no Guendouzi. Like,
yeah, those two, obviously.
Has got a few problems in his hand, isn't he? And I think that's going to sort of hold us back a little bit in terms of transfers, just the amount of deadwood that we've got in that squad. And I'm glad now that the rebuilding process is starting to take place, and I think, we can't wish a whole season away, but our target realistically is to get Champions League. Next summer there's a dead wood that will be shifted off the wage bill just simply because the contract runs out. If we can't get rid of Socrates, Mustafi, Ozil, they're all gone next year anyway.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. That's very true. And I think Socrates and. Well, Ozil probably won't have much use this year, but you never know. I think I read a story somewhere that Arteta's still holding out the olive branch, saying that it's possible that he might get back in, but it doesn't seem very likely, does it? And he's also, I can see Mustafi playing. I can imagine that quite easily. Say that again, sorry?
He doesn't seem to want to put the work in. Arteta doesn't seem that difficult a man to please. You just have to put the work in and do what he wants. Someone like Xhaka can turn it around. And someone like Mustafi, I don't want Mustafi at the club, don't get me wrong, but he came last year, said towards the end. Luis as well. Luis has been given another extension based on his performances in the last. And I think he's one of the few centre-halves that we've got that are reliable.
Strangely, Mustafi, on a good day, I really like him a lot on a good day, but it's just, he had such a bad run of form. I mean, when he first arrived, I think I may have said it on one of these podcasts before, that when he first arrived, Arsenal went on an unbeaten streak, and it went on for, I think if I remember correctly, it was pushing 20 games. It was probably about 17.
Yeah.
And, And that was with Mustafi in the team. And then suddenly he just fell apart, and I just don't know why or what happened to him.
Yeah.
So I'm, because of those 17 or so games that he did play, and clean sheets were being kept, and Arsenal looked defensively better with him in that lineup, and because of that, I just can't forget about those days, and I'm still harking back to it. So when he was making all those mistakes, I just thought, well, inside that guy, there's a good player. There's definitely a good player inside him. More than good, obviously, because he's a German international, didn't he, when he part of their World Cup winning team, I think. But, I mean, I know, you can be lucky, I suppose.
I think,
yeah.
Well, it's the same for Saka, isn't it?
Yeah.
I see a footballer in Saka now. I see someone that's got, almost like it's helped him through, like, told him what he's good at, what he's not good at. You know, and don't try the things that you're bad at, just stick to the things that you're good at.
Yeah, play within your limitations.
Sort of help, you know?
And yeah, I agree.
And
I mean,
he certainly has his limitations. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But,
yeah.
You know, with him and Ceballos, I think they make a half-decent sort of pairing, don't they?
Yeah, I've got to agree. And I'm really surprised at myself for saying this now, because when Ceballos first arrived, I went, this guy, everybody's raving about him, and I wasn't impressed. Even when he had a really outstanding game, I just thought he's so lightweight. There's something about him that he just looks like he's just not going to cut it in the Premier League. And actually, Tim Sherwood was saying it recently, but now I'm sort of become a Ceballos fan to a point, at least. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but I still think I can't knock the guy, because he's had so many good games. He's had a string of good games. Xhaka.
Yeah.
I don't really knock him either, but his mistakes have become invisible, as in he's not making them anymore, or so it seems. And if he's making mistakes, they're not big mistakes, like he used to make these huge mistakes. And it wasn't that I disliked him, because when he first arrived, I thought, this, actually, I was more impressed with Xhaka than Ceballos, but actually now it's the other way around. Of the two, I prefer Ceballos. Obviously, you can't really compare them, even though they're both midfielders. They're so different in their roles.
Yeah.
But
I think he's doing more positive things than negative, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, Xhaka the same. I feel like he's... And the really strange thing about Xhaka for me is... And I think I'm in a minority of one on this. It's when, even though he gave away a penalty, I remember, against Crystal Palace when he played left back, I actually liked him at left back, because I thought he passed the ball out really well from that position. And that's always been my issue with him, even though everyone says, yeah, he can hit these long raking passes. But the point is, I've so rarely seen them that I'm loath to comment on them. I remember the raking passes straight to an opponent's feet, and he did that so many times. I don't even know if I've seen a player do it more than him. And yet, despite all of those things, he has turned it around since Arteta came. I mean, Arteta's been nothing short of a miracle worker, really, with what he's done with particularly...
Well, with what he's got, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But did you hear that Klopp was saying he's... I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek or what, but I think Klopp said something like he's almost envious of some of the riches that... I'm not saying he used these exact words, by the way, so I'm paraphrasing a lot here. But he's almost envious of some of the riches that Arteta has at his disposal. Is he saying that tongue-in-cheek?
He certainly doesn't mean financially, does he?
No.
In terms of the players...
Yeah.
I think he must see what some of the things that we see. He must see that we've got a good keeper in Leno.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. When Klopp came, he had Mignolet, didn't he? So obviously,
yeah.
I think Leno's far better than Mignolet.
Much better, yeah.
I don't know defensively, but yeah, you look at a lot of the players, nearly all of the players at Liverpool. They're Klopp players, aren't they?
And I wanted to ask you as well about Ainsley, about there was talk, and again it was in the newspapers, doesn't mean it's going to happen, or there was a bid in, but Manchester United were linked, £20 million for him to go to Manchester United. Do you think that might happen, or do you think it was just paper talk? I can't make my mind up.
He would be interested.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Well, I think he would be, just because I think it's a big club, and I think they'd have to sort of guarantee him playing time. But I think Arsenal, it would be foolish to sell a player to a rival.
Mm.
Let's face it, United are our rivals at the minute.
Mm.
I think it would be foolish to do that, really. So that's why I can't see Arteta doing it. Because remember, Arteta joined, you know, the same year we sold Van Persie to United. So Arteta got to see that. He did, didn't he? Arteta joined when we sold Van Persie. And, he, you know, the year before we sold Fabregas.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, you may be right. I wouldn't dispute it. But I remember when Arteta joined, because that season, that was when Arsenal got smashed at Old Trafford. Didn't Man U get seven goals or something? I think Van Persie might have been in the team. Yeah, and didn't Van Persie score for Arsenal that day? No? I can't remember.
Right. So Arteta played one season with Van Persie.
Then Van Persie left.
Him
and after that,
Saka joined after the 8-2.
Do you remember there was a lot of players all joined at the same time? It was like Mertesacker came in at the same time, and there was a Brazilian left back who I used to like, who got caught speeding, and then
Santos.
He used to, I actually liked him as a player, but he weren't always in the team, was he? He was in and out. I'm trying to think. What about the Korean player joined as well? Park, the new number nine.
Park.
And he played. How many Premier League games?
Did much, did he? There was a few dodgy Wenger buys back in the day, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was quite a few, but they brought them in en masse. It was like, it seemed like, I'm not going to buy anybody in this window. And then suddenly, after Man U scored seven. He was trying to get a player for every goal they scored, it seemed like. It was just ridiculous, the amount of players that came through, you know, the revolving doors all at once. But it was Arteta. I was so happy when Arsenal signed Arteta. So I admired him as a player and as a manager, really. He's just he's just so classy. Something about the guy. Passing ability. I never ever questioned him. You know, I always thought you knew what you're going to get from the guy. I wouldn't say. I think, if anyone's listened to the podcast before, they'll know I was a massive Fabregas fan, and I wasn't not trying to say that Arteta was a better passer than Fabregas, but Arteta was so reliable. He was just so reliable, and you know, the guy just never ever put a foot wrong in my book. All the games I saw. Now I was seeing a lot of games there at the time, and I was just so impressed with him. But getting back to the did we cover everything in the Liverpool games, you think, or we covered everything pretty much?
I think we did.
Lacazette being lucky, I'm not sure we did cover it a little bit, but do you think, because I did read that was some of the feedback on the blogs, they were saying Lacazette's got three goals in three games, but it's actually because he's lucky, you know. I mean, I can't accept that as a reason why. I think he's just actually a good player. I'm not saying he's in the team purely
I think
for goals.
I would agree. I wouldn't say he's lucky, but I wouldn't, at the same time as well, I wouldn't put as much faith into him. I think he's a very good striker, but I don't think we don't definitely have two world class strikers. I think. The idea that we have two world-class strikers at the club, I don't agree with. I don't think that's true. But I do think he's a very good striker, and I think most teams would kill to have him.
But, I mean, is he a top...
To be fair.
Is he a top four or top six striker, you know, in Premier League terms, Lacazette? Because that...
On his own? Yeah, on his own, I would say no.
Yeah.
On his own... I don't know, because I think it's hard, because certainly, you know, he has that striker's instinct, and you can tell that. Has he been on form? You know, and again, the point where he scored three goals in three games, that's true, he has. It's a difficult one. I think if keep him fine. The problem I have with keeping him is obviously you've got the whole, Aubameyang is played out wide, and I like to see Aubameyang play.
It must be so hard for him to score that many goals playing out wide. And just on Alba for a moment, there were a lot of people saying that there weren't fans, by the way, but just I think it was a BBC website that was saying that he was totally marked out of the game in the first Liverpool game. I mean, would you say that was true? That Alba didn't really get a kick?
What, Lacazette?
No, they said Lacazette was more of a threat. They said Alba was just might as well not have been there. I can't remember who said it. It wasn't as rude as that, but it was just somebody said, I think it was a summariser or a commentator from the BBC said that Alba, you barely noticed him. He barely touched the ball. He made no impact whatsoever on that game. Whereas Lacazette, missed the chance. And maybe Alba would have scored it, but he wasn't there, partly because he's playing out on the left wing. But then, it was very. I felt a bit irritated that he was critical of Alba because there he is sacrificing himself playing on the wing. And you know what it's like if you play on the wing, you're so dependent on service. So if you're getting no service, you've got no chance basically. You've got no chance or nearly no chance of making an impact on the game, no matter. And you'd have to be, I don't even know, which player can make an impact playing on the left or right wing when they're not getting any service from the rest of the team. You've got, I mean, even a striker is hard, but you've got more chance to nick things and in areas that you can actually score. Whereas, when you're out wide, when you nick the ball, you've still got a long way to go to get it in, get it anywhere near the between the goalposts.
Between you and the goal, haven't you?
You've got so much to do still. So how he scores that many goals playing there is totally beyond me, and that's why. So when anyone criticises him, I listen to it and I think, is it fair? Is it not fair? But what was your view? Did you think he was completely marked out of the game? So that he was nullified.
I think what happened was, certainly in the first game, Liverpool realised that the centre of our team was quite solid, so they weren't going to get much joy going through Xhaka and Ceballos. They looked quite solid, and they didn't seem to be getting much space, and the passes weren't working. So they went, okay, well we'll go down the wings where Arsenal aren't strong. And because Trent was so far forward a lot of the time, and Trent and Robertson, they're attacking fullbacks, they put loads of crosses in, and it was a case of, for me, like, Trent was never out of Arsenal's half. He was always quite forward pushing, and Robertson as well. And what that meant is Aubameyang had to track back and mark his man, try and stop Trent from being influential. Now, that means that Aubameyang's further away from the Liverpool goal than he wants to be because he's doing his defensive duties.
Yeah.
That does have an impact on his ability to do his job, which is obviously to score goals and to contribute to goals. So I think Liverpool, they were aware that Arsenal, a lot of our sort of attacking play comes down from the wing. It's certainly inside, and I think Trent to combat that by pushing forward and making sure Uber defended. And just to point on that, Robertson goal, I think, it was the Robertson goal, the second goal. He snuck in, if you watch that goal again, he snuck in on the back post. Willian didn't track back. It was Willian lost his man and didn't track back and allowed Robertson to be free and to pick up the scrappy ball, but he was free to pick up that ball. So I do think that was part of Liverpool's game plan, was to sort of push our wingers back and to leave Lacazette almost isolated up there on his own, because they knew that Xhaka and Ceballos wouldn't be able to get to Lacazette quickly or easily. They knew that Lacazette's support was going to come from the wings, so I think that was part of their plan. So it's difficult, whether to say Uber performed badly or Liverpool performed well, and they had a game plan. And I think I wouldn't say it's disrespectful, but I think it's wrong. I think Liverpool had a game worked. you know, their game plan was to, they knew that Arsenal's biggest attacking sort of outlet was Aubameyang.
So why did it work? Why did Arsenal's game plan work better second time around? What reason is there for that?
Well, I think different personnel.
Yeah.
That helps as well. Like, you've only got one Trent. You've only got one Robertson. And yeah, we saw in the Charity Shield they played that ladder right back.
Yeah.
And Aubameyang absolutely murdered.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Trent. So I think it's, you know, it's personnel as well. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Klopp would love to have two of every position that, you know, did it as well. But that's why you have a first team, isn't it? Because you've got, they can perform what Klopp wants better. So, you know, I'm sure I've forgotten his name, I think he's Japanese, the lad, who signed for Liverpool last year, young lad, Minamino or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But, you know, obviously they want him to be as good as Salah or Mane, but he's not there yet. So I think, yeah, I think it is. I think it's a change of personnel. And it's a different game as well. Like, yeah, people, you know, don't always play, they're not robots, are they? They don't always play the same.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
So I think there's an element of that to it as well. But yeah, no, definitely. Like, you know, you've got to treat them like sort of the players that Klopp has, his best players. Not all of them played on Thursday.
Yeah, so most of them, but not all. You're right. Yeah,
we saw the difference with one change. If you think back to West Ham when Kolasinac replaced Tierney, the difference that had, one player
who
played in that position who just isn't as good as Tierney, the difference that had on the whole of the team play was noticeable, you know. So, you know, Klopp's team are like 11 little cogs all working together, and the sum is greater than the parts, or what that expression is. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they all work together.
It's a classic football line.
Well-oiled machine. They all work so well together. You know, like I said, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And I think if you take one of those cogs out, then you're not going to have the same sort of end product, really. So I think that's why.
It's interesting you mentioned Tierney, because I think it was Roy Keane said he's not good enough. But he weren't talking just about him. He said the whole Arsenal defence, they're just not good enough. Any comments on that? I was a bit shocked to read it, actually.
Keane, obviously, he's one of those pundits, if that's the word, that, you know, he gets a lot of sort of notoriety, or gets a lot of attention for, not saying inflammatory things, but saying controversial things, definitely.
Yeah.
And he's made a reputation, just like he was as a footballer, for being very blunt, very honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes he's wrong. I think in terms of the back three, he said Tierney's not good enough. Maybe as a centre-half, Tierney isn't good enough.
Mm.
But, yeah, Tierney's playing out of position. I don't think Keane mentioned that. Well, yeah. And he should be aware of it, because, you know, it's his job to be aware of these things.
Yeah.
But maybe he wasn't. I haven't seen the Keane I think Keane's comments, but when I read it, I got no sense that he acknowledged that Tierney was playing out of position. Tierney's not a centre half, is he? Or one of the three centre half. Mm. He's a left back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was. Yeah. I mean, he was I'm pretty sure it was Keane, but, you know, because I'm asking myself, was it actually?
It was.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, why did he say that? But then I looked at the quotation. Didn't look like he didn't pick him out individually. He just said the whole defensive setup. Yeah. None of the players are good enough. So he sort of didn't finish the sentence. So we don't really know. You know, what did he mean exactly? Did he mean they're not good enough in the system, or is it they're just not good enough?
I think he meant they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Personally, I think he just meant that they're good enough. To his point, that holding is questionable. Luis, I think, you know, certainly has always had question marks about his sort of liability or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think you know, it'd be interesting what he says about Gabriel. But yeah, with Tierney, I think I took out those three, I would stick up for Tierney the most, because I'd say, well, A, Tierney's still got a fair bit to learn, and B, Tierney's playing out of position.
Yeah, he's done remarkably well in my book, because I didn't expect somebody to come from the SPL and do as well as he's done. And, you know, I was quite public. I was worried about his injury record in particular. I had a load of Celtic fans giving me so much grief. Oh, you don't appreciate the SPL. And I said, well, look, it's a one-team division. They went absolutely nuts when I said that. And I said, well, when did you last not win the league? Yeah. And I said, so how do we know that some player is going to come from the SPL and then hit the ground running in the English Premier League? I'm not trying to knock Scotland. It's just the competitiveness of the league itself. I would say the same about, to some extent at least, a player coming from the Spanish League or even the French League. It's a big step up. I'm not saying the Premier League is a be-all and end-all, but it's a tough league to play in, you know, physically and on so many different levels. Anyway, we've only got a couple of minutes left on this before this machine suddenly dies on us, because it's given me, like, the countdown there. I just wanted to ask you about Sheffield United. Any predictions before it runs out of gas?
It's at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're no mugs. I don't think they've started the season off as well as they'd like. I believe they lost already.
Yeah.
We should win. I think it would be nice to get a win. A good performance would be nice as well. I see us winning it.
Would you play Pepe?
2-1.
Would you play Pepe instead of Willian? Because Willian's started already. He's only been at Arsenal 5 minutes, already getting a little bit of criticism. Nothing major, but... And Pepe, I'm not sure where people stand on him at the moment. As you know, I'm a huge fan of him. I struggle to not put him in the team. Willian as well. I like the two. But can they both play in the same team? That's what I'm not sure about.
You have to drop Lacazette, don't you? If it was up to me,
to
play both of them,
then
you'd have to put Uber up top.
Yeah. Wow, what a tough decision.
I'm not sure.
Feel sorry for Arteta having to make these big decisions.
Let's see what Arteta decides, eh?
Yeah. So you're pretty confident going into it. We don't want to be overconfident, of course.
But, I don't see why I don't think our confidence took too much of a knock from Monday, and I think certainly almost playing them again was probably a good thing, because it sort of got rid of the bad feeling, and now we can go in on to Sunday's game with some confidence. So,
yeah, massive buzz factor out of that last game, winning. Even though it wasn't a win as such, but just to win on penalties, not Liverpool out. I just felt pretty good about it. I just felt, it doesn't matter how it happened, it happened. And so Arteta again, the man with the Midas touch. Right, better leave it there, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd agree.
All right, so, thanks for doing that. See you next time.